שלום, נושא השיעור שלנו הוא קטעים נבהרים מהמקורות בנושא
We're reading chosen excerpts about how to behave at times of dissent. We're going to start with excerpt number 6. You can ask questions live during the lesson or via Cup TV or through any other platform, and related questions will be asked during the lesson. Excerpt number 6. Rabash, a person who wishes to walk on the path of bestowal, he must understand that from above he is given a special treatment, that he was lowered from the previous state so he would begin to really contemplate the goal, meaning what is required of man and what man wants the Creator to give him. But when he's in a state of ascent, when he has desire for Torah and mitzvot, he has no need to worry about spirituality. Instead, he says that he will stay this way his whole life because he's happy this way. It therefore follows that the descent he has received is for his own good, meaning that he is receiving special treatment, that he was lowered from his state where he thought that he had some wholeness. This is apparent in his agreeing to remain in the current state his whole life. But now that he sees that he is far from spirituality, he begins to think, what's really required of me? What should I do? What is the purpose I should achieve? He sees that he has no power to work and finds himself in a state of between heaven and earth. Then, man's only strengthening is that only the Creator can help. But by himself, he's doomed. It was said about this, yet those who hope for the Lord will gain new strength, meaning those people who hope for the Creator. This means that they who see that there is no one else in the world who can help them regain strength each time, it follows that this descent is actually an ascent, meaning that this descent that they feel allows them to rise in degree, since there is no light without a kli.
The greatest difficulty for beginners, and it takes years, many years, until we understand that we advance specifically in darkness, not in light. Specifically in us having no forces, and we don't want, and we can't, we don't see anything. And this way, we're in the worst possible situations, the lowest situations. Specifically, these are the states that are good for advancement. Because then we can organize ourselves towards a request. And our whole progress is only through prayer, only by asking. Therefore, if we feel good, we cannot ask. We become prideful. We become insolent, but only on the condition that we receive blows on our heads like that, disappointments, helplessness, darkness, all kinds of weaknesses. These are the nice signs that the Creator did not forget about us, and He's giving us an opportunity to ask. That's it. And this is the greatest problem, when that we, out of this world, we think that, I have a desire and a yearning and power and everything. I'm going to go and break through. I am not breaking through into anything. Only I'm increasing my pride. Rather, only on the condition that I feel bad, confusion, helplessness, darkness in my mind and in my heart. I can't even arrange myself. I am completely dismantled and broken. I don't know how to tie this with that or that with this, and it's all very foggy. This is the right sign for advancement. And it doesn't matter how much I know and how much I'm capable of gathering myself and asking correctly. It doesn't matter. What's important is that I actually feel myself lost and entirely dependent on the Creator. Is that clear? What's unclear, Niv? What is unclear?
Darkness clear, but dependent on the Creator, that is not clear.
So who does it depend on?
There is a situation, and a person's in it. Now, to relate this to the Creator, this is already a great thing.
But if you are incapable of anything, if you are in helplessness, if this is the darkness, if from all sides they are seemingly putting you under siege, what are you going to do? Don't you feel that you have nothing else to do? His hands are up to God, as it says. No?
Why should his hands be to God?
Because there's no one else to turn to. Everything else has been ruled out. You can't see yourself depending on anything.
We say that the hard part is to ask, to reach the request.
So
how do you reach that state where, from a state where a person is in indifference, darkness, helplessness, to a state where he starts asking, he hangs his hopes on the Creator and he asks incorrectly?
For that, he needs to be in the right environment, next to the teacher, next to the books, and take part. And then somehow he'll be able to work with that. He hears it. For sure, he hears about it. Many times he hears about it. It might be that he actually even sees it in the friends, even though it could be they have eyes but see not, that these are truly great people doing all of the right actions, but he cannot recognize it. Instead, he disqualifies them through his attitude to them. But the Creator, to begin with, brings a person to his good faith and he says, take it.
What's the difference? What does he not see when he is in the dark and when he starts relating the darkness to...
What do you mean darkness?
Darkness for him currently is a state where he simply feels that he has a bad mood. He's not impressed with spirituality, he doesn't think about the friends, he's not inspired by things, he's disconnected, he's indifferent, he can't commit to anything in the group, he can't do what he promised to in regard to the goal.
So
from this state, and furthermore, he's supposed to what? How does he attribute this to the Creator and ask of him? There is a gap here.
Rather, from whom does he receive all of these situations?
He could hang it on many different factors besides the Creator.
What is he studying? In what group is he? Where is he? What do they remind him? There's nothing you can do about it. Nevertheless, he has to focus on what does he depend on? Who is managing him? Yeah.
His will to receive?
And who is managing the will to receive?
Probably the wrong choices he made in life, that he didn't connect himself with the group, the creator, but now he's controlled by the will to receive.
If he's just managed by the will to receive, then he's a beast and there's no one you can talk to, the way you're describing it. However, if he has some connection, nevertheless, with the upper force to some extent, then already there's someone to talk to.
But what does it mean, connection with the upper force? How to correctly imagine it? There's a situation where a person's simply disconnected, he's in concealment, and there's the state where he says that, okay, this comes from the Creator, all my problems, there's a big difference between them.
This is a great difference.
That's what I'm asking about. First of all, what is the difference?
The difference is that one depends on the Creator and the other one does not depend on the Creator. One is concealment and the other one is double concealment. Yeah? Did you find it? Yes, that there are many problems and there's no God within me, everything that we studied. So what are you asking?
So first of all, I'm asking about the difference between these two states. Usually a person does not relate the state of where he's disconnected from the friends to the Creator, and the state where he does relate his situation to the Creator. What's the difference between the two, and how do you cross from one to the other?
The person must, through the environment, to always try to feel himself as a result of the Creator's treatment. Whatever is happening to me right now is what he is doing in me. All the time, he is always inside of me, and all the time, whatever I think, whatever I feel in my heart and mind, that is what he organizes within me. What do I need to do? First of all, not to disconnect from the fact that he's the one who is doing this inside of me. From that point on, I can operate already, but not beforehand.
So I'm asking, how do you reach that point?
We always want to be focused only on that point. Me and the group, we have to work on it together.
And how does he ascend to that point?
Now, did you get hold of that point? Try through the friends, through the group, not to come out of it.
What does it mean that he grabs hold of it?
That everything inside of me is, there is none else besides him.
This how he feels? Or this what he says to himself?
No, this is what he tells himself, and this is how he wants to be all the time, in such awareness, or not feeling, but awareness through efforts. Through such efforts, he tries to come closer to the state where it will truly be felt in him.
So he's holding to none else besides him now, that it all comes from him?
Yes.
How does he strengthen this point?
By always being with the friends.
And how are these things related?
I can't argue with you in such a way. How is this related? It's simple. Well, I have other students, thank God. You already.
It says here that they exchange some kind of force. What is it?
The force of men by the divine force. What does he say here? They see that there is no one else in the world who can help them. Those who see that there's no one who can help them will regain new strength each time. It means that this descent was actually an ascent. We don't have a situation that is happier. We don't have a happier state. Go ahead, yeah?
Amen.
It is a special time. You have to say, every year it's like that, but this year it's especially like that. You don't remember it was always like that? In previous years, not so much. This year, it's nice. We were actually rewarded. Well, let's continue then.
Excerpt number 7, Rabash, what is the herdsman of...
But again, what is the summary that we see from quote number 6 from this collection of excerpts about how to behave in the time of descent? That the time of descent, when we think it is a descent, it is specifically the time when we can cry out. We can get organized together by yourself. Of course, it's impossible to organize together and cry out to the Creator, save us. There is no better time. The Creator is expecting this prayer. Only through prayer can we achieve any advancement. And this is the time for advancement. And He is now giving you truly an entry pass. He's opening the door for you. Go ahead. Come in. And this is specifically during the descent, when the time that you feel rock bottom.
Owen,
go ahead.
Excerpt number 7. In every beginning, a person must start over the acceptance of the kingdom of heaven. It's not enough that yesterday he had faith in the Creator. For this reason, every acceptance of the kingdom of heaven is considered a new discernment. That is, now he receives a part of the vacant space that was devoid of the kingdom of heaven, and admits that empty place and fills it with the kingdom of heaven. It follows that now he sorted out a new thing, which did not exist before he took that empty place and filled it with the kingdom of heaven. This is regarded as elevating a new spark into the Kedusha. Finally, from all the ascents, he always raises sparks from the vacant space into the Kedusha. It follows that from each descent, he arrives at a new beginning and raises new sparks. Hence, when a person sees that he has descents, he should be careful not to escape from the campaign, even though he sees that he's not progressing. Rather, he must try to start anew each time. That is, the fact that he begins to ascend does not mean that he returned to his previous degree. This would mean that he did nothing by his work, since he thinks that he is now ascending to his previous level. Rather, he must believe that this is a new discernment, that each time he raises different sparks until he raises the sparks that pertain to his essence.
This means, don't be despaired that I've been there and again and again. There is no such thing time and again. There is no repetition. It's always new discernments, new ashimot, new ascents, and then penny to penny accumulate to a large amount. Yes.
I have a question in regard to the two states.
Hold on. What you're asking about what we're talking now? If you're not, wait up until we finish this subject.
You talked about advancing from darkness, bad feeling.
Does anyone want to ask about the text here? Yes.
What's the relation between a space devoid of any feeling and an egoistic feeling?
An egoistic desire is empty because it's empty of kedusha, of sanctity, and out of it not making any actions, maybe it doesn't know, etc. An empty place, empty from kedusha, may be kedusha means in order to bestow. It may be chasadim, mercy. It may even be chasadim in the illumination of chokhmah, or chasadim with the light of chokhmah. But empty is empty or devoid of bestowal.
And how is this related to the egoistic desire?
An egoistic desire is always in the foundation of the created being. We're always a desire, and our desire always comes from the shattering. We all came from the shattering, from the ruin. There is no righteous person in this land that made no sin. We are all wicked. You can't even imagine how much. And as you advance, you'll see how much your desires, your reshimo, that awakening in you are more and more evil, and you're going to need the force of the society and the self-convincement not to escape. Because how can I be corrected? Yesterday I was better than I am today. And that's true. It's a sign that you're advancing. But we always forget about it because it goes against our logic. You're always given more dirty work, worse work, and you see where you're standing. When you're working in an external work and you're getting more dirty work, it may be you, but the work is outside of yourself. Here, what you're being shown is that you are dirtier. You're worse. How can you agree to such a thing? Yesterday I succeeded, and look what happened to me today. Today I'm in a real sewer compared to what I did yesterday. Yes?
No.
A student asking, if closer to the Creator means pure,
closer to the Creator is more zach, it's pure. What does that mean? What does it mean? You can scrutinize it. You can know that already.
You mean in regard to the screen?
Well, of course. What does the zach mean? Greater coarseness, greater aviyut, greater desires, upon which there is a restriction and a masach. And then it's more zach, it's purer. Cannot be any other way. Of course, we're the created beings, we are the will to receive. As you advance, the will to receive is greater, upon which you need a greater restriction, a greater screen, a greater bestowal. By that, identification with the Creator is bigger. And all that is upon the ego, the will to receive, that does not purify. It's not gone. It always grows. Well,
but when the created being ascends to a new degree and discovers that he is cursor?
Of course, of course. Dirtier, more, worse, terrible. But only for one moment. If he has an environment, he made the preparation, he understands immediately, oh, this is what I have to do. This is for my own benefit. But the first moment is a shock. This is who I am. Again. Yes? These are nice states. You can't imagine it. You can write about it, but you can't understand it. They won't understand. You can write a novel about it. Yes. You want to ask about this? Yeah, go ahead.
He says here that a descent is an opportunity for ascent.
True.
And my question is, I have to ask for descent?
No. Why? Ask for ascent. but you'll get the sense. Yeah, let's hear him.
And if you're not getting any descents,
well, then the ascent doesn't come.
But in this state, where you're here, you're confused, you're in the dark, you feel bad,
it's a sign that this state is not yet scrutinized for you.
So this the scrutiny here. How does the balance between these two things, where you feel confused in spirituality and not confused in corporeality, let's put it this way.
In corporeality, I live like a donkey. I have to wake up, take a shower, do all kinds of actions, and to come to the lesson. After that, I go home, suppose. I eat my breakfast, and I go to work. I do everything by the clock. With Rabash, it was, oof, every minute of the day was this way. Why should you think about it at all? You didn't have to think. Everything was clear. In the morning, I eat this. At noon, this. In the evening, this is what I eat. This is how I sleep. This is how I study. That's all. Everything in this world, organize everything as much as an ox to the load and a donkey to the burden. Don't even think about it. All your thought, all your creativity, leave for the heart, for your relation with the Creator. Is this clear? Very well. So now let's see you. What do you have in this world? New things to manufacture, to do? Do as much as you need in order to live. To exist. How much do you think you've got left? Okay.
Ken.
Shabbat shalom. Ma'u cheshbon nefesh. What is self-scrutiny? How do you do it in the 10, and can we talk about this some more next week?
Again.
What is self-scrutiny?
Soul-searching. If I have a soul, I have a scrutiny or a calculation. What's my calculation? It's like I'm asking the waiter, what's the bill?
What kind of calculation do I make?
What does that mean? How much will I have to pay for my soul? No?
Both how do I measure this, but also...
No, I have to be told. I can't measure. I'm asking, what's the bill for my soul? How can I pay for it?
When do you use this calculation?
If you're ready for it. If you're ready to pay, then you're asking, and what? How much is it? What's the calculation?
Suppose that this is how it is, otherwise there wouldn't have been such a strong chisaron. Suppose I'm willing to pay. When am I supposed to perform such an action? Deep inside, it's something that don't really have the words for it and so on, but how in the 10 do we don't find it yet? Also in the group, we're having a very hard time doing this. And if next week we can somehow more practically dig into it.
Next week, you mean because it's Tisha B'Av?
No, but simply there is a strong deficiency for it in the group.
Hold on. You want to make a special lesson next week on Friday in a special subject? I don't understand.
If possible, next week, that with the whole world Kli, we'll practically talk about how do we do it in the 10. How do you perform a common or collective self-scrutiny? And come out with decisions, with what everyone's willing to pay, to find the center. It's really hard for us.
Mm-hmm. I feel you. He's asking out of his feeling. What can I tell you? Will we be able to find more verses about it that we haven't found yet, that we haven't learned yet about this soul searching, about the calculation? Try to find for next week, for Friday, right? Friday next week, let's have a very big lesson about this. I'm willing. Yes? I've been writing for a long time about this in my Twitters. We learn a lot. Actually, this year we learned, really plowed through the material of the shattering and the correction and the temple. However, let's concentrate this material next week. You're correct. We'll do it. Okay, friends, let's move on. Where are we?
Excerpt number 8.
8.
The Rabash writes in his article, "The whole of the Torah is one holy name." Excerpt number 8. We must always consider the goal, which is to do good to his creations. If the evil inclination comes to a person and asks him all of Pharaoh's questions, he should not reply with lame excuses, but say, "Now, with your questions, I can begin with the work I've bestowed." This means that we should not say about the questions of the evil inclinations that it comes to us in order to lower us from our degree. On the contrary, now it is giving us a place to work by which we will ascend on the degrees of wholeness. That is, any overcoming in the work is called walking in the work of the Creator. Since each penny joins into a great amount, that is, all the times we overcome accumulate to a certain measure required to become a kli for the reception of the abundance. Overcoming means taking a part of a vessel of reception and adding it to the vessels of bestowal. It is like a masach, which we must put on the oviut. It follows that if one has no will to receive, one has nothing on which to place a masach. For this reason, when the evil inclination brings us foreign thoughts, this is the time to take these thoughts and raise them above reason. This is something one can do with everything one's soul desires. He should not say that now he has received rejection from the work. Rather, he should say that he was given thoughts and desires from above so as to have room to admit them into Kedusha. It therefore follows that it is to the contrary, because he is brought closer from above. He was sent work. It was said about this, "The ways of the Lord are straight, righteous walk in it, and transgressors fail in it."
A question for a workshop. How can we organize ourselves so that every dissent, failure, disappointment, every time the evil is revealed, we'll be joyful, we'll be collecting all these crumbs, and by them we can rise, as this text says. So how do we practically organize it, that day to day, every day, I see myself managing all the dissents, all the disappointments, and I bring them to the 10 and advance this way? help others advance by participating with them, and this way I advance myself, and the whole 10 is together. Because what I see here, I can say at least 20, more than 20 people today that are missing from the usual people who come. They're missing because they got this burdening of the heart. They can't wake up. They can't come for various reasons, seeming reasons. They cannot correctly interpret that a burdening came today and it's for them to advance. And they don't want to raise the curtain, how do you call it, to keep on going. The Creator inviting them, but they don't see it. They disregard it. They disrespect it. This is the way they treat it. But we have to hold it in the group that each and every descent, bring it on, bring it on, bring these descents, each and every one. And by that, we can rise. I made many tweets today about love covering all the transgressions. We need these transgressions in order to build the second floor. Only through this second floor can we reach the Creator. And between these two floors, we reveal Him. The first floor is the transgressions. The second floor is actually love. And between the two, He is there. But He belongs to both in an equal measure. And that's called the middle line. How can we organize? But practically, be practical. It's not about nice words. How can we be practically organize a situation in the tent so that we'll rejoice with every revelation of evil? So we'll all be like this old man who's looking and searching for the evil. Where is it? Where is it? We're going to collect it. Every crumb we're going to collect, like old men. And specifically by that, we may rise. About this, there's a verse. Be careful from the poor, because wisdom comes from them. Specifically the poor people who have nothing, and everything's dark, and you have nothing, everything's gone. Specifically from them, if you can bring it in the right way to the group, it turns to be a kli to receive the light. How can we prepare the group for it? Come on. Everyone is talking, and then we'll ask.
First of all, to determine that we're a 10, to thank the Creator for being a 10, and every state anyone's going through, it is the state of the 10, and there's no Creator without the 10, none of us exists without a 10, and we have to remind each other about it all the time.
Yeah, and make a very distinct separation between my thoughts and emotions and the things that we decided in corporeality that we're going to do. It has nothing to do with what I feel or what I think or whatever. This is what I do. And obviously I am incapable of doing it on my own, so the group must help me do it. But I'm expressing my willingness to do it. Besides that, when we're working corporeality, it seemingly has nothing to do with corporeality, spirituality and corporeality. So first separate.
And to this you can add that since we're a 10, each such state actually becomes an asset for the entire 10. A person mustn't look at it as his own private situation, but he owes his friends, he's committed to them to ask their help. To ask for their help, and together that they'll start working on this. Of youth, it's a heaviness, that as if a private person received, but again, he did not receive it for himself, but he's really committed to asking for their help and start working with it and to turn it into fuel for everyone.
Seems to me that we have some kind of problem when we relate to these situations, because we're similarly, we're disgusted by them, or we don't want to think about them, or we're afraid of them, and we refuse to relate to it, like this old man who's looking for these things. It's as if it doesn't happen to us, and when it does happen, we say, okay, ask for help. We don't understand that we need help, even if it doesn't happen. Specifically, if it doesn't happen, if all we do is follow the rules and do what we have to do, and we're ignoring the work, the bread, so either we're going to be absent-minded about this, or we're not going to go through it at all. We have to have a different atmosphere in the tent. Either people fall because there is no answer to this problem in the tent, or maybe it simply doesn't happen.
We have to pay more attention to each other, to care for the friends, to be sensitive, to the different states the friends are going through, and to try and love the friends because each of them is a unique spark. And to instill this feeling in the group, in society, for everyone to feel that they have a place, that they're essential in our society, and that everything that's happening isn't some kind of personal state, but it's something meant.
Rav, according to which law, which spiritual law, can I demand support from the society without forgetting that the descent or the force is in order not to forget that the descent came because the Creator wants me to turn to Him in the tent. So by what law can I get support from the tent only to the extent that I support the tent? Where do we learn such a rule? Why are you looking at me? Look at your friends. You're not my friend.
I think
that the law is related to the condition of our vut. Where we feel that we're committed to each other. No one exists in and of himself, but only in relation to others. These are my vessels of bestowal, my intentions, the place where we adhere to the Creator.
This whole field is only made out of our prayers, the prayers of the individual for the ten, as much as he wants the Creator to come and connect the ten. If each one brings his sesame seed, his desire in this direction, then we create this force together between us. From the ten, from the society, there's nothing to demand. There's the daily schedule, that's what you got, a schedule. On this, you clothe your inner work.
I think that the law is from love of the created beings to love of the Creator. The Creator made it so that you can't directly turn to Him. You can turn to Him for the friends. So, if I got a descent, first of all, I have to take care of the friends. Maybe they're in the same state, because it's a collective state. And the only way to help them is to ask the Creator.
And works, just like equivalence of form, as much as I'm able to give. To that extent, I can be instead of them and receive.
I don't know according to which law. According to what law can I ask the friends? Because we're connected, we're in the same system, we're in one system, but according to the extent to which I invest in it, I can ask.
I don't know, he writes about it someplace.
I also don't know. But it seems to me that we need some integration. It has to be one body.
Rav, what valve do I open in order to receive help from the group to the extent to which I help the group? What law is working here? What action, spiritual action, am I doing here? That if I help them, then by that, I open a pipeline for them to help me.
It goes according to the law of the Arvut, obviously. Mutual guarantee. That if I invest in a group, if I'm incorporated with them in the tent, I become a pipeline. On the one hand, I connect everyone to the Creator. On the other hand, I pass on His bestowal to the tent, and vice versa. It has to be the law of the mutual guarantee.
We have to understand that according to this law, I never get a reward. The reward is actually the bestowal itself. And we simply have to appreciate it more and more between us, this being the source, the goal. And if we increase it between us, then it will direct us every time as a society that this is our place to advance and that there is no personal advancement.
The reward is the effort. The effort, as Yuga said, is the pipeline. I don't exactly know what that is, but it passes to the ten and back from the ten to the upper force. This effort is the reward.
I think that the law is that a person becomes the conduit for the light between the Creator and the friends and the entire world, that He asks for them. We're not allowed to ask for ourselves at all, but only to the friends, for the friends.
Yeah, when seemingly it has no name, meaning it's restricted, it doesn't work for itself.
Could be that it opens the upon the crimes, upon the rejection, the distance that is revealed. You add the plea to the Creator that despite this state, you try to come closer to the friends, and then the Creator comes into the picture as Om Kiev, as something that ties these two ends together.
I don't know, I guess my valve is closed. I really can't find, except for just words. By seemingly the focus of each of us is not about itself, it's about the ten, and out of that I have the right to ask for myself in order not to, so that I won't go back to the thoughts about myself and only think about the ten, about this general body. And then I guess by that, this valve is opened. Block my request for myself every time. That's a natural request, that natural prayer that awakens every time to get rid of the sins, to rise on my own. So always to bring myself back to the prayer of many. That I have to think of the friends, I have to care for them. But they're the source of the prayer that the Creator has revealed in them. We're going to move to excerpt number 10 out of letter number 5 by Baal HaSulam.
כמה אני מתעונן ומצטער על הקלקולים שעדיין לא נתגלו ועתידים להתגלות.
I'm happy about the corruptions that are revealed, are being revealed, and how sorry I am about the corruptions that are not yet revealed. For this is the rule, that no one can give something that he doesn't have. And if it is now revealed, there is no doubt that it was there before. However, it was concealed. This is why I am happy when they come out of their holes, because when you cast your eye on them, they become a pile of bones. Again, I rejoice in those revealed corruptions and the ones that are being revealed. I do, however, regret and complain about corruptions that have still not appeared, but which are destined to appear. For a hidden corruption is hopeless, and its surfacing is a great salvation from heaven. The rule is that one does not give what he does not have. Hence, if it has appeared now, there is no doubt that it was here to begin with, but was hidden. This is why I'm happy when they come out of their holes, because when you cast your eye on them, they become a pile of bones. Questions?
Then.
Yes. What does it mean when you place your eye on them, they become a pile of bones?
That if you correctly look at these corruptions, you'll see that there is nothing about them besides the Creator's invitation for you to come close. And therefore, it should make you happy, glad, all of these corruptions that are being revealed. But this depends on the support of the group, because usually when some corruption is revealed, we immediately fall, we're discontent, we're disappointed, we're afraid, we're this, we're that. But the Creator does it on purpose, as a sign, because we're not correctly related to society. If you are correctly related to society from before and you have support from them, then as Baal HaSulam says, I'm happy for all of those corruptions that are revealed. How could he be happy for a corruption that is revealed? Because in advance, he prepares himself to accept them gladly, because they come to his spiritual ascent. And this is up to us. So, it's not that the corruptions, they bring us down, but to the contrary, they elevate us. And this is the difference between someone who serves and doesn't serve the Creator. Is it clear? Any other questions?
Ken?
Yes?
No.
Go ahead.
Доброе утро, уважаемый Рав, доброе утро всем. Ну, я немножко волнуюсь, я хотел... Ко мне приехал гость.
Good morning, dear Rav. Good morning, everyone. I'm excited because a guest came to me from Krasnodar. We went to on trips and we're going to return.
Там постоянно спрашивал, какие-то вопросы задавал.
И он asked me questions all the time and he told me, I'm amazed because everyone's talking to me and they're unpleasant, they're angry. I ask them, I have requests and they refused my requests. He was telling me I was in Europe and other countries and no places like Israel in this regard. I tried to explain that maybe you came to a holy place.
Как его объяснить? увидел все эти неисправности.
So what's the question?
Ну, вопрос в том, что я ему объяснил, что когда ты видишь неисправности в других,
explained to him that when you see corruption in others and you make an effort to overcome them, it's a spiritual growth. He was looking at me with wonder. He's very distant from Kabbalah. I wanted to know if I answered him correctly or not with this regard.
The ego that appears in the people of Israel is a special, unique one because it's meant for correction. And were we to use it correctly, we would have corrected ourselves and the entire world a long time ago. And were it not for the and if we're not correcting ourselves, then we're worse than everyone else. That's how it is. According to the rule that anyone who is greater than his friend, his desires are greater than his, and that's how we look. So, I'd say that the hardest life from all countries is in Israel. People are right. Let's hope that we will turn it into a correction and then everything will be fine. Accordingly, I wanted to say thank you very much for the translations. That we have especially good translations into English and Ukrainian. That's interesting. That all in all, they're translating things in a good, nice, proper way, and this is praiseworthy and a good example. The Ukrainian and English departments that are doing good and well-organized translation. Okay. Yeah.
A question on a different subject. A student addressed me. He went through the whole all the courses in the campus, and he went into a group. Then he asked me, what is the role of maaser, paying the maaser, in the spiritual development?
He should check. On the internet, I think. He should Google it and see what's said about the maaser. I can only say that all of Rabash's students were obligated to do it. I don't know what happens in other groups, in other organizations. This is something that is very common among the religious Jews in one way or another. And see, you should see according to what it says there. That it's really a necessary thing. It's a must that it's against the it's the part of the malchut in the tent that a person cannot correct. He invests it in society and society uses it for the sake of the general correction. That's how it works. It was really important to Rabash. And immediately, once a new student came, I had to come up to him and tell him, Mister, it's customary to do this and this here. And I always felt very unpleasant performing this duty, but that's how it was. In this regard, he had no sentiments. It's a must, that's that. According to the spiritual structure, that's how it is, and there's nothing to add. Any other questions? Moscow.
Good morning. Rav, in this excerpt,
объяснение по поводу, как распространять. This
excerpt leads to scrutinies about dissemination. The question is this. It's very clearly said here that Baal HaSulam says that we're happy about the revelation of these states and we work with them. That's clear, it's logical. Maybe we can build or establish upon this, with this basis, we can show and build a message that this is how we work with the ego. We work with the ego. We correct it. Not like entertainment. A very clear approach. This is what we know how to do. This is our expertise. Can we present ourselves this way?
Yes, I only don't understand how you're looking at it. To me, it's clear how we work. Suppose, like making a sandwich, how many times do we have to talk about it, that love covers all crimes, that we're happy for the revealed corruptions that become revealed because above that we can build our connection, and then it will be a growing connection. It only depends on the extent to which you understand and realize it in the group. You can't do it on your own. Every time forget, you don't have the kilim for it. The kilim are only in the group. If the group holds you and works on you all the time and reminds you about it, then gradually, time after time, you get used to it and suddenly it starts working. It's like it says, I want it. First, coercively, and then willingly. So you have to draw the light, make an effort until it starts working in the kli, and then the darkness shines as the light in the kli. This is what we do. We'll get materials for this lesson. I'll write about it and on Twitter or in other places maybe, and we'll advance there too. And we'll continue with these topics. Yes. What else do we have today? Please.
Today we're going to start lessons about the weekly portion.
It's a problem. I looked at the weekly portion, Parashat HaShavua. I want to prepare myself. There is not that much to bring. Also, our friend C, he did not bring anything. And it's a problem. We can't really find materials about it, neither in the Zohar, nor here, nor there. I'm envious of those children that talk about the weekly portion. Talk about it, you know, in such a nice manner. Maybe I'll give the lesson after I listen to them, to the kids. Really, there is not that much to explain. We will have a lesson. We have excerpts, we have different things, but really? In the weekly portion, there are such portions that you can't really explain it in a way that will be clear, but it's related to high degrees. It's not that it's related to the beginning of the Torah or middle or end.
So maybe we should just say that the lesson is 1:30 until 3, dedicated completely to the weekly portion. We'll try.
There's not enough material. I want you, for you to also understand, what are we talking about here? You give the weekly portion someplace? No, never. Because really, it's a problem. You see how Rabash writes his articles about Parashat HaShavua. One sentence or something, and then goes back to what the Wisdom of Kabbalah talks about. Because what it says in Parashat HaShavua, it's really the internality of the degree, that you can't always give it some form and talk about it, not in corporeality, but in regard to the work of the Creator that we're about. Yes, Leo.
A suggestion, maybe what we should do is take a Rabash article about the weekly portion, the present week, for the present week, and we'll read it, maybe parts of it, or maybe we have time to read it all. So this way we'll be on the weekly portion, but it's with the Rabash as well. Rabash is always good.
Maybe we have several articles in regard to the same portion.
Usually we do. Only one on Rabash Gimel? No, but we have what we used to call the rungs of the ladder. In my opinion, every portion has an article, if I'm not mistaken. We have to check it out.
Please, you check and send me. Let's show him how to work.
Okay, gladly. Besides that, it's important to say that we're inviting all the women friends and the men friends from the groups to join us here. We're expecting you. We'll be very happy with every friend that comes. Immediately after the lesson, we'll go down to a happy and special meal. We're also inviting all the friends from the Israeli clique to the meal, and it's important to mention, well, actually, we wanted to ask everyone to register, but it's too late now. So if you can, even today, register until the meal, until the lesson. If you can register, it will help us. We're waiting for all of you.
Let's try and turn this lesson into something that is related to Shabbat, the meal, this, that, and that will have some kind of collective group action.
Maybe, well, still, it's been a long time since we learned the weekly portion and in an organized way, week after week. So what do you expect from these lessons? What would you like us to be able to bring out here?
I know what it says about it in the Zohar, in the Torah, what Rabash says about it. And there are such portions in which it's really hard to find something where you can explain something in a good, nice, clear way, practical way, for us to use it in our inner work. There are such portions that you really can't do it. It says this, it says that, and it's explained in a special language of the Torah. There are four languages. And we're used to a different kind of language. But besides that, we can't talk on the level that the Torah writes on. We lack the discernment simply. But we'll try. Whatever comes as a result, but we'll get on course and we will try to make it as beneficial as possible.
I just wanted to say that I know that in the city of Afula, in the second semester, two cars of men and women that are about to come, and they really jumped at this opportunity. They're coming.
No, obviously, Parashat HaShavua is really appealing because it's related to the foundation of our nation. But the question is, can we do it on this portion?
So maybe we can leave the difficult portions aside, but their expectation, that's what my impression, that the expectation of the people of Israel is to take the central principle, not every verse, but the principle, to tell us about it and how it is expressed in a person. And we can strengthen it with the Rabash. And
we'll try to do it together. No problem. Yes, David.
Just wanted to say that we have your book, three volumes, called Kol Ma'anai Bach. It's a book about all the portions of the week. I have these three volumes and I go over it with my son. There's a lot of material that your students collected from words you gave about the weekly portion. I think there's a lot of material. We just have to open these books and look at them. It's a book about a series of shows you made about the weekly portion. Every week you explained about the portion in relevant material from the news and also internal work. Every chapter is another volume.
So it came out recently?
No, it was a few years ago. Rami says 3 years.
You asked me about a name, Dudi.
Yeah, it's been a while. Bensi printed it. It was a long time ago.
Could be. Well, and... so what?
Thank you to our TV viewers. Have a good day. Friends, let's remain quiet. We have a few announcements. A lesson about the weekly portion. Today, Friday, between 1:30 and 3 p.m., we're going to have a special lesson. We're inviting all the men and women friends from the Israeli group. Immediately after the lesson, we're going to have a special meal. Registration for it, for the meal, is in the link we sent you through the WhatsApp. Kabbalah Lam College is happy to invite you to new courses. We have intro lectures in various places in Israel. On this Tuesday in Tel Aviv, Wednesday in different cities in Israel. For your registration, please go into our website, kab.co.il, or call us at 1-700-509-219. Together in the Academy. We are very excited to tell you that we started the registration on the course of the country, the Israeli country, and the contemporary problems we're facing. We're going to meet today at 10 a.m. if you're interested. Thank